versus Raymond Duckworth. Mr. McGowan, just hold on one second. Okay, Mr. McGowan.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Raymond Duckworth. Mr. Duckworth appeals the district court's finding that a prior offense conviction for burglary of a building or general burglary in Illinois was a qualifying career offender offense. He believes that that conviction should not have been used as a career offender qualifying offense, and that the reasoning that the district court used to do so was flawed. First of all, burglary of a building in Illinois, the general burglary statute, doesn't include as an element the use of force or threat of force against another individual. Second of all, it's a lesser included offense to residential burglary. Now, in this case, Mr. Duckworth was charged originally with residential burglary. He pled to the general burglary statute. Now, the charging information was not changed physically by this change in plea. However, by act of law, I believe that the charging information, which is really the only document that the court should use unless there's some ambiguity, to look at facts, I believe that it changed some things in the charging information, but not enough to look to the facts of the offense. Now, in this case, there are two different statutes in Illinois for burglary. One's the general burglary and one's the residential burglary. And in fact, the general burglary statute specifically prohibits, excludes residential burglary as part of its definition when Mr. Duckworth was sentenced.
And there's not going to be any lesser included count.
It would be
specifically excludes it.
It would be considered a lesser included, except
how could it be if it is excluded?
The structure here is that the residential burglary statute does not exclude the general burglary statute, but the general burglary statute does exclude the residential burglary as a possible alternative.
Well, then it can't be a lesser included.
I believe that the case I cited in the case...
When somebody's lost their marbles, if it specifically excludes the possibility, it can't be that.
Well, my argument doesn't rest on that necessarily, but it is part of it. And to the extent that there's some sort of conflict between the Illinois case law and the statute...
And common sense.
But, Your Honor, the information that the government didn't want the district court to look at with the changes that the...
In order to find out what it is that happened at the trial level, that is, it's done by information. It was not an indictment, if I recall correctly.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
And the information can be amended any time by the prosecution.
I believe so, yes, Your Honor.
But it was not physically. There was no amendment offered. Nothing.
Exactly.
It was just... Well, we were going to let him plead to the commercial burglary.
Yeah. Just general burglary.
General burglary. In order to find out the fact that that was a fact, you'd have to look at the record and see what happened at the hearing, wouldn't you?
Well, Your Honor, actually, the information that first discloses this is the judgment. And I think that's part of the record that the court can look at. The judgment says general burglary, and specifically cites the general burglary statute.
Right.
My argument is simply that you take the information where he's charged with residential
burglary. But if that specifically excludes what he was charged with originally, there's something, if I were the trial judge, I'd want to see what happened.
I'm sure that the instinct was to look at what happened. I think the instinct of all of us in this courtroom is to look at what happened
right
before we make a judgment. On the other hand, under this particular career offender guideline,
uh-huh,
it does limit what the court can look at unless there's a real ambiguity. And I'm saying that there's not a legal ambiguity here, because when you take what he's charged with, which is residential burglary, and you look at that he's charged with a general burglary statute.
That wouldn't make you upset when one, as you said, specifically excludes the other?
Not when I've compared the two, though. Because
you just compare the statutes, you don't look to see what happened.
The elements of the burglary of a dwelling really are only different because it says of a dwelling.
Well,
residential burglary.
That was the only charge there was in a burglary. It had to be a resident. It had to be at night, too.
It had to be at night, too, yes, Your Honor. But the statutes, of course,
we've changed all that. Yeah.
And in Illinois, we've got two different statutes, or at least we did at the time, and still do, I believe, although they've changed somewhat. At the time that he was sentenced.
We also have burglary of boxcars, automobiles, and other funny things.
There's a whole list of watercraft in the burglary of a building.
But it's hard to say that one is a lesser included count of another. I mean, criminal trespass to property would be the included lesser included offense.
Perhaps. But in any event, what I'm saying is simply that you've got the same elements.
Well, I grasped your argument. It wasn't that I missed it intellectually. I just am trying to rectify. Why is it wrong for the judge then, faced with the guy who's charged with the residential burglary, and the record shows that he pleads inexplicably to something that is specifically excluded from residential burglary? Why is it appropriate to look and see what happened? Well, what he did plead guilty to. What did he do?
Well, you know, the guideline in this case is very specific, and it's actually supported by some different kinds of cases, too, including the case that the government cited, the Jackson case. We're relying on Holtz primarily, but the difference between this case and Holtz is that in Holtz, the parties actually changed the charging information. Otherwise, it's directly...
Had they done that, there wouldn't have been any need to look for anything.
Well, I believe if they'd done that, I wouldn't have appealed it because I think the district judge would have ruled for me. I believe you said that as much in the transcript. But the general principles that I'm talking about here, articulated in the Jackson case that the government cited, are a couple of things. First of all, when you're determining whether somebody is a career offender, you look at the items and the information that you need to come up with the conviction that he pled to if it's different. And in this case, they're different. And in that case, he was charged with attempted murder, and he pled to criminal recklessness. While the case doesn't actually address whether the information was changed, it appears as though the court did look at both the information and what he pled to. The court in that case noted that it considered only the minimum facts necessary to support the conviction to ensure that the imposed sentence enhancement was only for the conduct of conviction. And it relied on Taylor versus United States, the Supreme Court case, which was cited immediately after what I just mentioned to you on page 632 of the Jackson case. And in the Taylor case, the quote that the Jackson case talks about is, if a guilty plea to a lesser offense was the result of a plea bargain, it would seem unfair to impose a sentence enhancement as if the defendant had pleaded guilty to the charged offense.
If I recall also, the reason we consider burglary to be a crime of violence, it always has the potential for violence, does it not?
Well, and then the guideline specifically says burglary of a dwelling would count. And sure, that's one of the reasons
but
that we look at
it. But burglary of a commercial building would never carry with it the possibility of violence?
I would submit that, yeah, some facts could indicate violence. In fact, if you look past the charging information in this case, the fact, I'm not arguing that...
Well, I mean, even if you've been simply charged with commercial burglary, would there be the potential for violence?
Potential, but it's not one of the elements. And the information in this case, as it tracks with Holt...
Well, there's no element of violence in commercial burglary either. It's the potential, not the actual. You don't have to be violent. You can sneak in an open door and commit a burglary.
Granted, I agree with Your Honor. But the question is, what can the court look at when it's determining whether this offense is a crime? That is correct. I'd like the law to be that way, Your Honor, but I can't say that that's what it is. I do believe that the court would have to look at both, though, what the person pled to and the information to begin with.
Right, but in terms of, if you're trying to come up with a rule or a way to determine take this case, look at it in a different way. We could look at the final question mark, and I propose from the statement, how could you reconcile what the information was
That's what the government's arguing, Your Honor. I submit that you can look at both of those documents in this case, and knowing the law in both the residential burglary and the burglary of a building, I don't think you have to go any further than the information and the, what the person was convicted of.
Thank you, Mr.
I see my time's up. Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Miller?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Eugene Miller. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the United States here as I did in the district court. I believe that the district court in this case followed the procedure that has been set forth by this court in the series of cases cited in our brief, which is how to determine how to characterize a prior conviction under the career offender provisions of the guidelines. And in this case, defense counsel is correct. We don't care particularly what the defendant actually did, we care what he pled guilty to committing. If it was what the defendant actually
hopefully
did,
it's the same thing.
That
ideally,
that would be nice. I think this is an example where that is not specifically true, what occurred. In this case, there's no question, it hasn't been disputed in the PSR, that this defendant kicked in a door while a person was present in the house, grabbed the woman by the hair, pulled her up and down a hallway towards her bedroom, threatened to kill her, and she ran screaming out of the...
What county was this in?
This was in Vermilion County in the Central District of Illinois. Danville is the county seat there. And frankly, what apparently happened in this case from reviewing the record is it was part of plea negotiations to allow a defendant to receive a sentence of 3 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, which under Illinois law would not have been permissible if he had pled guilty to either home invasion or residential burglary. They allowed him to plead guilty to an amended charge of burglary.
They were just being nice to him, were they?
Well, there are, I don't know, it's not in the record as to why they allowed that type of plea.
It
could have been that they were nice. It could have been that they had problems with their victim. I don't know. But the facts are not disputed in this case. Well, Your Honor, I think there is a rule, and I think the district court applied it in this case. Obviously, from the government's point of view, the windfall for this defendant happened in the state court proceeding, and the federal court is merely applying the clearly set out law of this district, and that is that if you can look at the charging document and the offense of conviction and determine what the defendant pled guilty to, that's the end of the inquiry. But in this case, we don't have that. This would be Holtz or Hicks, clearly, if in the state court they had amended the charging document to clearly reflect that the burglary was only of a building and not of a dwelling and struck residential from the charging document. They did not do that in this case. And so we... Well, the judgment order alleges only generic burglary. And this court has held that generic burglary must be judged individually. It's a generic burglary is not per se in this district not a crime of violence. As the Holtz case itself held, each burglary of a non-dwelling must be judged individually. So the judgment order itself does not tell us whether or not that burglary that he pled guilty to committing is a crime of violence or not. It just leaves it an open question. If he had pled guilty to the residential burglary, then clearly it would be a crime of violence. By pleading guilty to generic burglary, it's now an open question, and we must judge it individually by referring to whatever is appropriate for the court to look at. And as the case law sets forth, in a case where it is ambiguous, which the United States believes it is in this case, with no written charging document whatsoever, the court can look to easily produced documents as long as that does not require any contested factual hearing in the district court. And none was required in this case because we were able to obtain the transcript of the guilty plea proceeding, and when the factual basis was set forward for the defendant's guilty plea to burglary in state court, it clearly showed that this case presented not only burglary of a dwelling, but on the second prong, a serious potential risk of injury to another person. The court had asked, can commercial burglary ever be a crime of violence? In fact, in the case we cited, the Nelson case in 1998, this court held that, in fact, the burglary of a sporting goods store was a crime of violence under the career offender provision because of the possibility of confrontation. In this case, there wasn't a possibility of confrontation. There was an actual confrontation between the defendant and between the victim at the residence. And defense counsel does not, in fact, argue that if you can look at the factual basis for the guilty plea, in other words, what the defendant pleaded guilty to committing, that in fact shows that it is a crime of violence and there was a serious potential risk of injury. I suppose in this case, the question from Judge Williams shows that there is the sense that if the state court had basically ignored the facts in the case and amended the written charging document to reflect only generic burglary, that under Holt and under Hicks, that would be the end of the inquiry. I believe that's true. But in this case, that did not occur. There is no way to tell what the defendant pleaded guilty to beyond looking at the non-existent charging document in this case. And when this court does that and applies the individualized test specifically set forward in Holtz to determine whether a burglary is a crime of violence, it is clear on this record that this burglary was indeed a crime of violence. Well, Your Honor, I guess we're not going to the point And I understand that, Your Honor. Our first response is that actually it could also be looked at that it was unfair the defendant who committed the burglary of a residence, which was undisputed, was allowed to plead guilty to an offense that did not reflect that. But on the second thing is, in this case, is to call it error by the state court. I'm not sure I would go that far. At some point, they would have had to amend the document. I suppose we can presume that they would have amended it to strike the word dwelling and to strike any reference to residential burglary or to any crime of violence, but they could have, of course, amended that written charging document in a way that would have reflected what the defendant did, in the sense that they could have said he entered into the dwelling or the building of another person with the intent to commit an act of battery therein. I mean, we don't know how they would have amended the document. If they had amended the document to reflect the facts in this case, then perhaps just the review of the document itself would have shown us that this was a crime of violence. So we don't know that. So I guess we're not willing to say that they erred and that it's against the defendant's interest that they did so, because perhaps they could have amended the charging document to correctly reflect what the defendant did in this case, in which case we wouldn't have needed to look at the factual basis. We could have just simply looked at the correctly amended charging document and determined that this was a crime of violence. If the court doesn't have any more questions, I'll return the balance of my time and simply ask that this court affirm the well-reasoned opinion of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. I think your time has expired.